Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Sportsmonger Show. I'm your host, Brian Steffen, going a little solo action tonight as my partner in crime, Jason, is in the bird getting ready. Got to get the Betty by early. He's up off and early to get out to Oakmont tomorrow. And for the resumption of round one after a terribly rainy start, not the way the good folks there at Oakmont Country Club would want it to be and the folks at the USGA. But it is what it is, so they're often running nine guys actually finish round one today, and that's it. So not so much going on there. If you've been keeping up with us here at DYSCNow.com, you'll know our guy Zach Weiss has just been all over it. He's been there all week on the grounds, getting some interviews, writing some great blog pieces for our homepage. So check it out. I actually had him on my golf podcast here in Myrtle Beach on thegolfdirector.com earlier today, discussing conditions at Oakmont and how the field looks, what the course looks like, the setup, how tough it is. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But first off, let's just get excited and celebrate here and clap a little bit as you heard the music. 2016 Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. Winning game six Sunday night, 3-2 win in San Jose to knock off the Sharks. Just Pittsburgh was the best team the whole series. And it finally came all the way through and showed in game six. It was great stuff. Sidney Crosby, two assists. Wins the Conn Smythe, a little bit questionable in my opinion. I'm a Penguins fan. I don't really care. They win the cup, but Phil Kessel, to me, was the best player in the series for the Penguins, and I would have thought that he scored the most points. I would have thought he would have been given the Conn Smythe, but they gave it to the captain. And I mean, Crosby played great, not a lot of points, but just played fantastic hockey all series long, leading the team, in a lot of intangibles. Actually, if you really want to get to it, probably the best player in the series was the goalie, Martin Jones, for San Jose. That guy played out of his mind. I mean, that series would have been over a long time ago. And it would have been a four-game sweep, and all the scores would have been 5-6, 7-1, or 2, had he not played the way he did. I mean, in the Game 5 win in Pittsburgh, he made 44 saves. And they were high quality saves. Pittsburgh just couldn't get it by him. It just played tremendously all series long. So now Pittsburgh gets the fourth cup. They won back to back 91-92. Then in 2009 and now 2016, they tie the Detroit Red Wings for the most cups in the last quarter century. So and it's a young team that looks that they'll be a favorite again next year. They'll have some changes to make. They'll lose some people, they'll keep some people, they'll extend some contracts, but Pittsburgh fans are loving it and already excited, looking for the fall to roll around to jump into the defense of the cup. Game six right now in the NBA Finals are underway. Actually, right now it's halftime in Cleveland. And let me pull up the score here. Cleveland's got a pretty big lead here at halftime. Just dominated. It was 31-11 at the end of the first, which is just insane. They're winning 67-46, actually into the third period now on ABC. And it looks like they're going seven in that series. And as it should be, you know, two best teams, two of the best players in the league going at it. So, you know, it's just what the doctor ordered to go back to. Golden State, where, you know, they won 73 games. They're the best team in the league all year. They set the single season wins record, breaking the Bulls record by one game. And now you're looking at you know, them possibly being the first team ever to blow a 3-1 series lead. You know, going back to Game 7, because we all know in Game 7s anything can happen. But no team in the finals has ever blown 3-1 lead. That's a fact. So talk about a huge turnaround from the best regular season record to potentially, you know, they could give it up to the Cavs, because LeBron looks like a man possessed now his last couple of games. Be interesting to see. And Steph Curry's been non-existent. Cleveland's defense has done a tremendous job. The Splash Brothers actually have been non-existent. We're going to get our buddies Miles and Grant from GM Hoops. If you're familiar with those guys on the site here at DOSTNO.com, they were going to come on with us, and they just couldn't get free to catch up with us. So we'll catch them next time. We'll actually get a series-ending recap after the series is over. And we'll either be crowning Warriors on the best teams ever, or we'll be crowning King James as orchestrating the best comeback in finals history, if all things stay the same as the Cavs have a lead midway the third in Cleveland. As always, tonight's show is brought to you by RentalBeachGolf.net. Go to the header on our homepage, click on the sign-up tab. You can win 4 nights and 4 rounds in Myrtle Beach. That's free golf trip to Myrtle Beach. You need to try to get in on that action. Our friends at Proforma providing, you know, clothing and promotional items for us here at the Sports Bar Network. The guys on the grounds, if you're in Oakmont, going to the Open, check them out. You'll see our boy Portman. The shirts with the logos. These guys do a great job. Also, Razor Golf, the official golf club of Sportsmonger Network and the DYST now. The Edge, Razor Edge. Check them out at RazorGolf.com. So, NBA Finals. I think if it goes seven back in Golden State, the Warriors probably win. Although I think it's probably the only close game of the series. So far, the game's been a blowout, which is very disappointing as a fan. I want a close game. Stanley Cup Finals were great. Every game was a one goal game, except for Game 5 with an empty netter and Game 6 with an empty netter. So in essence, they were one goal games, all 6 games in the series. That's what you want in a championship series. You want close games. You want drama late. There was a couple overtime periods in the Stanley Cup Finals, and each team won one of the overtime games. So it was a great matchup. I mean, the Sharks played great. The Penguins just played better. They're faster. They played better defense, team defense, because Matt Murray, the rookie goaltender, faced half the shots that Martin Jones did for San Jose. Excuse me. The Penguins just played tremendous team defense. The HBK line, Hagelin, Bonino, and Kessel were great all playoffs. A lot quieter in the finals, which might have been what tipped the scales to give Crosby the Conn Smythe Award for MVP of the playoffs over Phil Kessel. But they were they were the best team all playoffs. They're the best team since Christmas. This season was eerily similar to 2009, Penguins fired their coach, brought in Dan Bylsma at Christmas time, went on a run, beat Detroit in 7 games in Detroit. This year, Bob Johnson got fired, bring in Sullivan, changes the roster, a couple of trades. Rutherford, the GM, made, brought up some of the players from, some of Sully's players from the AHL that he was comfortable with, plugged them in, and the young kids played great. The trades worked out. They shuffled the lines a little bit, and Crosby just went off. Led the league in scoring from Christmas on. Just a great run. But top to bottom, the whole team, all four lines. Nobody put anybody on their back and carried them. The whole team did it. It was, obviously, as a Penguin fan, it was fun to watch. But I would think, as a fan of hockey, it's good to see the best team play at its best and win in any sport. And I could go on and on about the Penguins all night long. The congrats to Mary Lemieux and his team and the fans of Pittsburgh. The parade was today, or yesterday, over 400,000 people lined in the streets downtown. Fantastic scene. And peaceful, unlike other, even the parties in the streets Sunday night after the win were peaceful. College World Series kicks off this weekend. We don't talk a lot of college baseball, but I'm pretty pumped up. Here in Myrtle Beach, we've got Coastal Carolina University, who is in Omaha for the first time in school history. Third time's a charm in the Super Regionals. They made their third Super Regional this year. They were in Baton Rouge against LSU and got a sweep. Kind of blew them out. Score didn't show, but it was 11-8 on Saturday. Then Sunday, after LSU tied at 3-3 in the top of the ninth, walk-off double by shortstop, fourth-round draft pick by the Anthony Paez, Chris Paez brings home Anthony Marks, leadoff guy, center fielder, to send the Chanticleers to Omaha, which they actually left Myrtle Beach here today to go on out there. So starts Saturday, for those of you college baseball fans, Omaha, Nebraska, College World Series, fantastic atmosphere out there all week long. Keep up with us, because I'll be on top of it, and we'll be reporting about it, blogging, tweeting. It's just good stuff. Let's spend the last couple minutes here of the show talking about the U.S. Open. Again, our golf coverage is brought to you by Razor Golf, RazorGolf.com. Play the Edge, custom-made golf clubs. We've got a promotion that's going to be coming out. We're going to tweet out and put on our Facebook page a coupon that'll get you $119 off your order. Yes, I said $119 off your order. Doesn't matter what you order. If you order a $140 club, you still get $119 off. If you get a whole set of irons, you get $119 off. So it's a no-brainer. All you got to do is put in the promo code SM Radio for Sportsmonger Radio, and get your discount when you go to RazorGolf.com. U.S. Open, Oakmont Country Club, east of Pittsburgh. Oakmont is the hardest golf course in America. The fairways and greens will be a little softer after all the heavy rains, but the rough is going to be nastier than it already was, is. Now they'll be trying to squeeze in 36 holes tomorrow if possible, or some combination over the next 2 days to make sure that Sunday is just 18 holes. The good news is, once you get through mid-morning tomorrow, looks like the forecast is calling for it to clear up in the Pittsburgh area and be great weather for most of the day tomorrow, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Jordan Spieth is the defending champ. Jason Day is the betting favorite at 7-1. Phil Mickelson is the sentimental favorite, the veteran looking to complete the career grand slam with a win at the U.S. Open. Dustin Johnson, can he bounce back from the terrible three putt on the 72nd hole at Chambers Bay last year, where he had an eagle putt to win, birdie putt to tie, and ultimately par putt to lose by one stroke to Jordan Spieth? Ricky Fowler. Is this possibly the one he can break through on, finally get his first major? A lot of storylines at Oakmont this week. A lot of places you could go. Rory McIlroy's back, finally playing good, looking hungry to win another major. He won the Irish Open a couple of weeks back, finished T4 at Memorial, so at Jack's Place in Ohio. So his game looks to be in line to make some noise this week at Oakmont. We're going to take a real quick look. The scoreboard almost doesn't mean anything right now, but just to give an idea, because there's guys that didn't even put a tee in the ground today, I don't think. There's guys that never even teed it up. So the scoreboard really almost means nothing. The leaderboard, Andrew Landry, who is the 642nd ranked player in the world, is at 3-under through 17. Bubba Watson, Danny Lee, 2-under. Leader in the clubhouse, one of the 9 people that finished, Scottie Scheffler, shot 69 today. I got to be honest with you, I'm a big golf nut. Blog about it, talk about it. I'm the editor here on the site for us. I have no idea who Scottie Scheffler is. I never heard of his name till today. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat and lie. Kevin Streelman, Lee Westwood, Harris English, all 1-under. They've all played 12, 14, 15 holes. That's it, under par. Handful of guys that even, including last week's winner, Daniel Berger, Zach Johnson. Then you get Jordan Spieth through 11 holes is plus 1. Patrick Reed through 14 is plus 2. Then you start getting some high scores. Rory's plus 4 through 14. Again, there's a lot of golf and a lot of things are going to change. Right now, the worst score in the clubhouse, Tom Hogue, 78, 8 over. Nick Hardy in the clubhouse at 7 over 77. There's only 9 guys that finished their rounds, and nobody of note. You know, no big names have even finished. So, I mean, it almost doesn't make a difference. All we know is that, you know, the U.S. Open is supposed to be tough. The conditions are supposed to be hard. And, you know, as amateur golfers, the reason we like that is because it looks like us out there when they're hacking it out of the rough. And, par is a good score. You know, as amateurs, when you make par, you're excited. So watching the U.S. Open is almost like watching yourselves playing away, because it's they're not 16, 17, 18 unders winning tournaments, making lots of birdies. It's tough sledding out there. And I think that's part of the attraction to golf fans for the U.S. Open. So expect – I originally called Jason Day at minus 2. But weather, rain, having to play, try to get in 36 holes or, you know, some combination thereof, 20-some and over a piece over the next 2 days, it could be higher than that. It could be higher than that. But anyway, it's Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I get to spend the weekend with my oldest 16-year-old, travel across, coaching Saturday and Sunday with my youngest there, also with their mother on the sideline. So be a good family weekend down in Charleston, South Carolina, just outside of Ravenel, to in a little tournament. So enjoy the weekend with your dads out there if you can. If you don't live near them, give them a call, send a prayer. Happy Father's Day to my dad. I know he listens. Love you, Dad. And we will catch everybody next week on the show. We'll be back in full force with Jason, and we'll probably have the guys from GM Hoops as we'll do a wrap-up of the NBA Finals, as whether it ends tonight or Game 7, or it can't end tonight, I guess. Well, it could end tonight if Golden State comes back or if it goes to Game 7. We'll be wrapping it up next week, get a look back at that. We'll also look back at the U.S. Open and check on how things are going in the College World Series and start to look ahead to the Midsummer Classic, Major League Baseball, All-Star Break, and see what's going on there. I'm your host, Brian Steffen. This has been the Sportsmonger Show. Have a great night, everyone.